to stand up front here and speak to these gorgeous ladies. And you've chosen me as your mouthpiece. And so God has a special message for every single one of you. He has an appointment with you. Allow him to do what he wants to do in your life. But now before I start, I'm going to introduce myself through the eyes of my grandchildren. I've got 10, but not everyone is going to say something. When Josh was 4, he's now 19, I was washing my hair and bending over, I had shorts on, and he said, "Mommy, Granny's legs are broken and they're full of drawings." I haven't got rid of those drawings because the kids enjoy it. Then Rachie, who was 5, she's now 16, I was putting on my makeup like we ladies all do, and she said, "Grammy, what are you doing?" I said, "Sweetie, I'm just putting on my makeup." "Why, Grammy?" "To get rid of the wrinkles. Is it working?" "No, Grammy, no." Yeah, they keep you right there. And then Rachie and I put on our bathing costumes, still 5 years old. I was older. And we were cleaning Michael's driveway with the hose and the broom. And when we'd finished, it was hard work, she ran away and jumped on the trampoline. "Grammy, you must never die." Do you know that I've never forgotten that? But I know God's going to take me home one day. But it was so precious. And then Nate was 4 in Cape Town, and I was babysitting. It was his birthday. "Nate, and what are you going to do today?" "I'm going to play with my friend. She's name is Grammy." I had to learn it off by heart. "She's name is Grammy." Oh, and then one last one from Mike. I love the bush. I really do. I would do anything to just go to the bush. It's quiet and just to spot those beautiful 5 animals and others. Well, you remember Pindar? There was a lady who was mauled by 2 lions and they were sued. But now Arnold was called in to do a seminar for how to motivate your laborers. And so he and I had a chalet, and our children had another chalet. And they had to be very careful. And late that afternoon, we got a message from the desk saying, "Stay in your chalet because there are lions lurking around in amongst the rooms." I said, "Please tell my children, they're in another chalet, to stay indoors." "Yes, no, they would." So I switch off the lights, and I open all the curtains, and I'm looking for the lions. And suddenly I hear, and I thought, who the heck is coming into my chalet? I mean, the lions are wandering around. Open the door, and there's Michael. I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Why, Mom?" I said, "Didn't you get the message from the desk?" He said, "I was that person. I put a hanky over the gehoor base, and I told you, we've had such fun watching you opening the curtains and looking for the lions." "There are no lions, Mom." Okay. So, all right. We are here to hear about the woman of worth, God's masterpiece in progress. Your and my life show the touch of his genius. But before I go on, you've heard so much about me. Now, I'm going to tell you something very, very interesting. And it was a lecture that was done at Stanford. Now, we all know that Stanford is one of the universities. And the head of psychiatry said the following: "One of the best things that a man could do for his health is to be married to a woman. Whereas for a woman, one of the best things she could do for her health was to nurture her relationships with her girlfriends." Isn't that amazing? Everyone started to laugh. He said, "It's serious. Women connect with each other differently and provide support systems that each help other to deal with stress and difficult life experiences. Because physically, this quality, girlfriend time, helps us to create more serotonin, a neurotransmitter that helps combat depression and create a general feeling of well-being. Women share feelings, whereas men often form relationships around activities. We share from our souls." He said that spending time with a friend is just as important to our general health as jogging or working at a gym. that interesting? So, we are women of worth and we are God's masterpiece in progress. And that reminds me, when I think of a tea, a morning tea, I think of beautiful cups. And you get the Royal Albert cup, the one who likes detail. You get the heavy detailed mug. You get all sorts of interesting things. And I've brought mine today. And mine is one that I bought at a second shop in England. I love detail. And I love French, and it's blue and yellow, and French colors are blue and yellow. And there are flaws in it, and that's why I got it second, at the second shop, because I've got lots of flaws. I'm not perfect, and neither are you, even though you wished you were. And since then, there's the odd chip. And we do have the odd chip. Now, our lives are like this teacup. And it's an analogy. And it's interesting that Jesus also used the analogy. Let me tell you what he said to the Pharisees. You are so careful to polish the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of greed and self-indulgence. First clean the inside of the cup, and then the whole cup will be clean. You need to have more than clean dishes. You need clean hearts. And that's our Jesus, using the analogy of the cup. And this is a precious cup, and you and I are precious cups. And God has lovingly designed each of us to be different. There are no photocopies, thank goodness. And every cup has a handle, usually. You get the odd one, but usually. And God holds my handle. And I hope each one of you has God to hold your handle too. And he wants to make us a love song to other people. Because what gets put in the cup has to be poured out. I want to read to you Psalm 139. This is one of the most precious verses for me, verse 13 to 18. Just close your eyes and listen. And just drink in God's word. This is what David said. God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born, and you scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. The day I was born, and the day I will die. No amount of medication and pills will change God's word. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I awaken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. Isn't it amazing that this morning when you got up and you got dressed, God was still thinking about you. I don't think we realize what a wonderful God we have. George MacDonald said, I would rather be what God made me than the most beautiful woman in the world. Because to have been thought about, born in God's thoughts, and then made, is the dearest, grandest, and most precious thing that you can ever think of. Don't try and be somebody else. Don't wish you were somebody else, because God has made you just the way you should be. How can we ever wish to be someone else? But you say, but Joy, she's got such beautiful hair. Yeah, but look at your legs. They're stunning. Yeah, but Joy, she cooks like a dream. Yeah, but you bake like a Frenchman. So we need to look. Even though others are good, we've also got good points. And we must accept those good points. And this amazing God doesn't just want you to know about him. He wants you to believe in him. And Arnold always says, he believes that Jan van Riebeck arrived at the Cape in 1652. He believes it with all his heart, but he doesn't believe in Jan van Riebeck. Lots of people believe with all their heart that Jesus came to earth as a baby, that he was born, that he died on the cross, but they don't believe in him. And by the end of this morning, ladies, I trust that all of you will be believing in him. Now, he's a jealous God, and he's passionate about your relationship, even though you don't realize it. And he will go to any lengths just to get your attention and your affection. And so I'm going to tell you one of my favorite stories. And it's about Eddie Rickenbacker. And he was the captain of the Flying Fortress in 1942. And he had a crew, and the plane ran out of fuel and landed in the sea. And there were 9 of them. And they had to be in 3 rafts for a whole month. 1 month, 3 rafts, 9 people. And they knew that there is no way we're going to live, because after 8 days, all their rations were finished. And it would only take a miracle. Well, every day, they would read the Bible, pray together, and share. One particular morning, Eddie Rickenbacker put on his cap over his head like this, and he leant again against the raft, and bing, something landed on his head, and he caught it. It was a seagull. What was a seagull doing in the middle of the ocean? God. He caught it. They ate it. They used the intestines to fish. And they lived to tell the story. I'm ending up with the end of his story at the end of my talk. And if I forget, just say, Joy, Eddie Rickenbacker, please. It's an amazing story, because the widow of James Whittaker read the story in Max Lucado's book, and she said, that's not the miracle. My husband was on that plane. And when it crashed into the sea, he didn't believe in God. And when they ran out of rations, he didn't believe in God. He couldn't care less. And he was fidgeting with all these people praying and reading the word. But he said, when that seagull landed on his head, on Rickenbacker's head, he put his faith in Jesus. That's how God will do anything to get you to believe in him. We've just got such a sad story, because Arnold's cousin, we were just with him now in Cape Town. We arrived on the day he was told he had 3 weeks to live, riddled with cancer. And Arnold said to him, Jan, do you believe? He said, I've never believed in God, and I don't believe now. And my dad died, and my brother committed suicide. Not interested. And he's just passed away without God. My heart is still very sad, because we wrote WhatsApps, but somehow nothing happened. And I'm sure you've each got a story when you accepted Jesus. I was just 7. I was brought up in a Christian home, and it doesn't make me a Christian. And my dad was a Baptist minister, and that didn't make a difference. But I was 7 years old, and I was sitting in church, you know, listening like a good little minister's daughter. And my dad was preaching on the second coming. And he said, one day the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we will go up, and we'll meet the others in the air and go and be with Jesus forever. I thought, I'm going to be the only one left behind. And I couldn't talk to my dad. I didn't tell anybody, but I was petrified that I'm going to be the only one left behind. And that Christmas, I went to a children's mission, and there and then, I gave my heart to Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, and thank you for what you've done for me. Just come into my heart and make me yours. And I've been walking with him ever since, and I love him so much. And because of that, I've written a book for children. And if you want to buy one, there's some books outside. You just need to put 100 rand in the box and take your book. It's Grammy's Treasure Chest, what I would love every child to know. Right. Now, you people have been doing a breath prayer often, and you haven't realized what it is. A breath prayer is a rhythm that slows down everything, and you focus on Jesus. And it calms your rushing mind and body, because everything is so... You know that feeling? And that's called a breath prayer. And so we're going to do a few little breath prayers through these sessions. And the first one I want you is just to close your eyes. Just feel the rhythm. It's just a short prayer. Slow down your thinking. Focus on Jesus. Calm your rushing mind and just quietly repeat, I am a love song. I am a love song. Right, I am a love song for Jesus. But how many of you love yourselves this morning? We all do. I mean, you look stunning. All of you dressed beautifully, hair looks good, gorgeous shoes. But how many of you like yourselves? Some don't. Some don't like themselves. And by the end of today, you're going to like yourselves. Because the amazing truth is, the more we are conscious and accepting of God's love for us, the more we can accept ourselves and our uniqueness. 90% of poor self-image is what we think other people think of us. 90% of your self-image is what we think others think about us. So let's hear what God thinks about us. If I could tell you everything, we would be here the whole day. So I've just picked out a few things. Because when God's word gets inside of you, it begins to change the outside of you. When God's word gets inside of you, it begins to change the outside of you. And the first one is Ephesians 1:11. We are a gift. We are a gift to God because of what Christ did on the cross. And we become gifts to God that He delights in. Did you realize that you're a gift? And secondly, Isaiah 43:1-7. You are precious, you are honored, and He loves you. Now, when I'm feeling very down and I don't like what I am and what I'm doing, then I say to myself, but Joy, God says you are precious, you are honored, and He loves you. And it somehow just gives you that spurt to carry on. And then thirdly, and my friend Lynn quoted Sunday night in church. No, not that one. I'm going to the next one. The next one is Isaiah 49:15-16. You know what God has said? I have written, it's Isaiah 49:15-16. I have written or engraved your name on the palms of my hand. The Amplifier says, I have indelibly imprinted or tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. What does that tell you? It tells me that I'm never out of His thoughts. You are never out of His thoughts. And it could be poetic language to try and show us that God never forgets us. Now, usually when I do this talk, I ask the ladies to write their name with pen. But pencil is not going to work. To write your name in the palm of your hand. And every now and again, when you open your hand, you see your name. And you realize, but God's thinking about me. God's thinking about me. I'm special. I'm precious. I'm honored, and He loves me. So if you do have a pen and you want to do it sometime, just do that. And then the last verse I want to mention to you is Zephaniah 3:17. And Lynn, you quoted it Sunday night. I love it. And read it on your papers, girls. It's that last verse. It says, do not fear. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and He will quieten you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Who is active here? God. Who is passive? Us. Because He's doing all of this over us. He's with us. He's mighty to save. He takes delight in us. He will quieten us. Some of you are here today with very heavy hearts. And He will quieten you with His love. I love the last one. He will rejoice over you with singing. Does God sing? Does God sing? It would seem so. Although this may also be a way of describing God's feelings in terms we can understand. But God can express emotions, including joy, in a variety of ways. And the Hebrew word translated singing means the following: a shout of delight or happy laughter. Can you imagine if you're doing what God wants you to do and you're obedient? He is singing over you, shouting with delight, happy laughter over you. I just think it's so precious. Just before our wedding, Arnold was doing missionary work in South America, and he brought me home a guitar, and it traveled 11,000 kilometers through the Amazon jungle and all over. And in it was a little note: may our home always be filled with the sound of music, the music of love. And our home was always filled with music and singing and concerts. And even on my 17th, I dressed up as Maria and sang, "The hills are alive." Oh, I love singing. My sister always said to me, "Joy, whenever I think of you, I think of singing or music." Did you know, girls, that no matter how good we look, how talented we are, or how smart we are, or successful, there is always going to be someone better than you. So never compare, never compete, just complement. And I told my daughters-in-law when they came into our home, I said, don't compare, don't compete, just complement. And Jackie does the most gorgeous table decorations. And Tarina, again, is the practical one. She will work out what we must bring if we go on a holiday together and how much and so on, which Jackie and I can't do. So it's amazing. We each have gorgeous talents. Now, I want you on that paper to write just a short note, very short, because we haven't got time, just to write the short note, thank you, God, for what I mean to you. Just something that's hit you. Just something short. You can always add it when you go home. Thank you, God, for what I mean to you. I am. Right, you can continue it at home. Very special. I'm starting to help you journal. Because of what God thinks of you, you can think differently. And this is where it all happens. When you think differently, you act differently. Liking yourself comes from learning to let in the good things other people say about you. Let me repeat that. Liking yourself comes from learning to let in the good things people say about you. I had a very poor self-image, and I had a little booklet. And every time somebody paid me a good compliment, I would write down what they said and their name. I would write down what they said and their name. And at night, I would get on my knees and I'd say, thank you, God. This is what I am. This is what I am. This is what I am. Help me to believe it and let it in and change me. And it did. Billy Bob taught me this. That's my daughter's husband on their wedding day. I said, Billy, thank you for bringing the best out of Colette. He said, Mom, thanks. I'll take that. Wow. Usually we say, oh, your hair is so gorgeous. No, man, sis, it's dirty. But that dress, no, I bought it on a secondhand show, shop, We just don't know how to say thank you, I'll take it. So from now, if you ever pay me a compliment, I'll say thank you, I'll take it. If you are content with yourself, then you'll be able to reach out to others and help them. Be fun to live with, because people don't enjoy being around negative people. It's a fag. Philippians 3 says, and that made such an impression on me, Philippians 3:2, don't live to make an impression on others. Be yourself. Oh, takes the pressure off. Listen to Anne Hathaway from the Les Miserables. How do you say it, Elena? Say it loud. No, I didn't. Thank you. She said she was stressed out by her success, but has now learned she does not need approval from anyone, and says just knowing that has made her life much easier. I don't sit here worrying, what will they think of me? And that is so liberating. And that's an actress. So don't live to make an impression on others. I had a very poor self-image. I was 3 years old and my brother 18 months when tragedy hit our home because we lost my mommy. She was only 34 years old. And my dad, being a minister, a Baptist minister, we'll organize this next time, just couldn't look after these two littlies and all the church responsibilities. And so one family took me and one family took my brother. And we were like that for nearly a year until everything came together. But my dad would pick us up every day and take us for a ride because he wanted to keep us together as a family. And so that was my second mother. Then the third mother was when Auntie Joyce was just newly married and she came to live in the manse so that I could come back and Michael could come back and we could be together as a family. But that didn't work out. And finally, my dad married Mom Noreen, and there sits my sister, my new sister from my new mommy. And she and I are the only ones left in our family of six. So thank you, Shaw, for coming and being with me today. So, that was very hard for me. So I grew up with a nagging longing. Please love me. Please accept me. And I remember a photograph of all of us at Matopo's in Rhodesia. And you and Michael and Denise were running around, and I was holding onto Mom Noreen's hand. And I know what my thoughts were. It was, please love me. Please accept me. Because you can imagine, having gone through three mommies, and now the fourth one, will you accept me and will you love me? And God has helped me not to be a people pleaser. Anna says, Joy, at times you're not quite there yet. I said, I know love, but help me. So that's where I'm at. And then after Arnold and I got married, my brother was tragically killed in a motor car accident. And my dad died 4 months later. Yeah. And I remember saying, when we got the news that Dad had had a massive heart attack in America, and we must pray. And we prayed, and we sent messages all over South Africa. And on the Saturday morning, in my quiet time, I got Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. I said, Arnold, that's the verse Dad got in his quiet time on the morning of Michael's death. I'm so scared, but I think God is preparing me that he's taking Dad home today. And by 1 o'clock, Mama phoned to say, Dad is with the Lord. Because I still said, Lord, you'd never allow me to lose two people within 4 months. That's hard. Because Michael died in the December and now Dad had died in the April. But that showed me how journaling, girls, is amazing. Buy yourself a lovely leather, whatever, journal. And spend time with God each day because he prepares you. And he prepared me for my dad's death so that I could handle it. Maybe your story is something more hurtful as a child. But as we journal, we see God working because he gives us just what we need each day. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father, thank you for the person I am. You created me this way. I need to esteem, value, and appreciate myself because what you think of me. Help me to accept myself. If I compare myself with others, I'm actually in the process of rejecting and disapproving of the person you created me to be. You purposely make us all different, and different isn't bad. I'm precious. I'm honored, and you love me. You will never forget me. You're thinking about me all the time. I'm engraved in the palms of your hand. I must be special. And to think I was especially created for my husband, and I have a ministry in his life that no one else can fulfill, I like being that special. And I am a mother you chose for my children. No other mother would have been able to handle my children. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you for who I am. One little boy of 7 said, I like me because God don't make no junk. Tea time. God be with you. And when we come back, I'm going to deal with the broken cup, learning to handle your pain, and then the cup of blessing, learning to give of yourself to others. Go and enjoy a cup of tea. We'll see you later.